where are we going to meet after Jonah? Well, after Jonah, we are going to the Gospel of John. And the ladies have meet us there, but I guarantee you they will not finish before us. No, they will finish before us. I am looking forward to getting us into the Gospel of John, spending time in the Gospel of John. When we think about just really how we grow as Christians, it's always by the Spirit, it's always by God's grace, it's always through the Spirit and with His Word we grow and mature. And I find that sometimes we grow a little bit differently when we spend time in the Gospels and we just focus in on the life of Christ and our Savior, as all Scripture has something to do with Christ and has something to do with God. The Gospels say they basically just preach themselves, and it's going to be, quite fruitful and beneficial for us to go and spend some time in the Gospel of John. But we have one more portion of the book of Jonah. So let's go meet the Lord, let's ask for His blessing over our time and word, and then let's see what Jonah has left for us as Jonah be brought to a close. Father, I do thank You. You are gracious in everything, Lord. You do not withhold good from those that walk uprightly. So, Lord, set us on Your path. By Your Spirit, strengthen us, Lord, to walk by the Spirit. Help us, Lord, as we think about this year coming to an end. You have been with us this whole time, and You will continue to be with us. And I thank You for Your constant presence in our life. I thank You for blessing us and surrounding us with these precious saints that are here with us this morning. Do ask, Lord, that You would give an extra measure of Your grace to those that aren't able to be with us this morning. Help us not forget the saints that have a hard time making it. Help us also, Lord, to reach out to the saints and to grow close to them, even if they are away from us on Sunday mornings. But Lord, now be with us and prepare our hearts for Your word. Help us, Lord, to see clearly what You have for us in Your word, and bless us by Your word. Help us, Lord, to know You more and to worship You greater. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Jonah is short, and we get to the end of Jonah, and it's kind of like Job, in a sense, or at the end of Job, God makes this impact statement, and we get to see really what God is thinking in regards to what Job is suffering through and what's going on with Job. And we can see what God thinks of Job's friends. And the book of Jonah is similar in the sense that what God is going to do is He's going to invite us into a counseling session. Into a counseling session where He has some words with Jonah right after Jonah is sent to school. God sends Jonah to school and gives Jonah some object lessons. Helps Jonah to understand what's going on in Jonah's heart and also what God's heart is like. This last sermon, the last portion of Scripture from chapter 4, verses 5 through 11, the sermon is titled, The Heart of God. mentioned that this theme kind of is woven through Jonah's letter or Jonah's book, shall I say. And that theme is this, that the compassion or the mercy of God is greater than that mercy or compassion that man has for him. God is more compassionate. And that really shines in Jonah. Last week, I highlighted a few of those. God's compassion towards the sailors, but compassion towards Jonah when he's in the intestine of the fish. And then God's compassion is mercy for Nineveh. That's really going to shine with this last portion of Scripture. So if you're not in Jonah, turn there to Jonah. And look down at verse 5 and follow along as I read from 5 through 11. And remember, this is right after we've seen Jonah is just sour. He's hot, right? Jonah 4, verse 1 says, but he is greatly displeased. And that really is a statement to that Jonah viewed what God did, saving him, as an evil thing. The word displeased is not there. It's actually a word for evil or wicked. That's how much Jonah hates Nineveh and how displeased Jonah is with God's action with him. And he became angry. He became hot. And verse 5 says, then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made himself a shelter for himself. And sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord appointed a tent, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. But God appointed a worm. When dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head, so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, you have compassion on the plant for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and their left hand, as well as many animals. As I mentioned, we're actually invited into a counseling session by God. It's a Jonah in the schoolhouse to learn from God. And from verse 5 through 8, we look at the Lord's illustration. The Lord's illustration. Because the Lord is at work, and we know that the Lord is at work because three times in three consecutive verses, it says that God is the one that appoints. God appoints the plant. He appoints the worm. And then he appoints this east wind, scorching east wind. He brings it all about to set up that environment of learning for Jonah. And we know this. God does this for us all the time. There are no greater teachers out in this world of great teachers than God himself. God is the greatest teacher. And he teaches every day. Every day. He teaches every day, and he teaches us all. Every day, he welcomes us in and establishes and orchestrates environments for all of us to learn. for his good presence throughout the day. But since it is certain that God is teaching us things every single day, throughout the day, each and every one of us, his schoolhouse is open, and yet, not always long to enter into that schoolhouse. Because his lessons are always for our good. They're always for our good. But his lessons aren't always easy on us. They aren't always fun for us. They aren't always soothing for us, at least at the onset. When we were first brought into the schoolhouse, sometimes the lessons are difficult, and sometimes the lessons are painful. Sometimes we are allowed to learn as a group, but many times we're brought to the schoolhouse to learn on our own. Lessons that we need personally. And Jonah needs a personal lesson. So what he doesn't know and what he doesn't understand is that he leaves Nineveh. And consider this, as Jonah leaves Nineveh, he had moved to Israel towards the west, and that's where his land and territory would be, Israel. But Jonah does not do that. In verse 5 it says that Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. He moved out. And the city is now, Nineveh is now, in between him and Israel. Now, Jonah, at least in the beginning of the book, had a problem with trying to escape the presence of God, the presence of Yahweh. I don't know if that is exactly what he's doing, but I know that he went east, and he sat down. You see, Jonah's hope is that even though I'm sure Jonah saw people in Nineveh repent, he's still hoping by his hope in the wrong way that God is still destroying Nineveh. And so he goes and he sends them a shelter and he's got a lookout watching to see what will happen to Nineveh. And what he doesn't understand is he actually sets up and builds his own schoolhouse. So then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So I don't know, or nobody knows, but God and Jonah and whoever Jonah may have shared this with, we don't know his intentions and how long he was going to stay, but he's got a shelter. He's going to spend some time there. We don't know how long it's been since he was walking in Nineveh. Only Nineveh in 40 days, Nineveh will perish or Nineveh will be overthrown. But we know that he's waiting to see what will happen. And it's there that God provides the perfect situation for Jonah to learn. And you need to learn a few things. You need to learn about what's going on in Israel. But most importantly, he needs to learn what God's heart is like. That's what Jonah is missing. And that's what many of us can be missing at times. When our eyes are laser focused on what we're going through and what life is like for us. And it's hard for us to escape that because are you going to think about them in such a way that it blocks out who God is? Jesus John made a great statement about God in verse 2. He says that he knows that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. He knows these things, but he's still got a problem because man of sin is so huge to him. He just wants to know the judge. And so what happens? The Lord doesn't speak to Jonah and just let Jonah know what the problem is. Okay, hey Jonah, this is what's wrong. Actually, you're thinking like this and really things are like this. But can you just move in this direction, please? But that's what we want from God, right? When God has us in the storehouse, we want the Lord to say, you know what, if you would just not be so sensitive. You know what, when they do the same thing that you are doing, we want God to tell us what we want to hear, when we want to hear it, and God sent us at the schools. But notice, as we work through the rest of this ordinance scripture, never, not once, does it mention that God is doing any of this out of frustration, that is teasing Jonah, not finding delight in life, dragging it out with Jonah is going to suffer. He's not pleased with that, but he's pleased to help Jonah learn. And that's what we need to think, because I know that when we're in the schoolhouse, it's really easy for us to think that the Lord is upset with us. It's really easy for us to think that the Lord is mad, that the Lord has abandoned us, the Lord has deserted us, that the Lord doesn't care for us, or perhaps our salvation is gone. Whatever it is, and we think about all of these things, we're dreaming about the fact that God is the one that set the schoolhouse up for us, not just so that we would learn what's going on with us, but that we would learn who God is. And that was meant for us. So what is the first lesson? The first lesson is the pointing of the heart. Jonah is there and he shouts in verse 6 and says, so the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh God appointed a plant. So that tells me that God, seeing how Jonah set up shop to wait and to watch, and let's just say this, that Jonah is a far greater creature than he is a construction worker. Because even though he set up this shelter, he's still experiencing some sort of discomfort. Maybe he's got walls and no roof or something. I don't know. But God appoints a plant that will grow up overnight, basically. And it will provide the necessary shade for Jonah. He says that the Lord appointed a plant that grew up over Jonah to be shaded over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. Not just happy because the plant offered Jonah shade. Really, the Hebrew tells that Jonah delighted in the plant. He loved the plant. He loved the plant. He took pleasure in it. I wouldn't know anything about the plant, what kind of plant it was. So many people say, well, it's probably this kind of plant, or that kind of plant, or this kind of plant, or that kind of plant, because they grow quickly. In a story like Jonah, where we see very fish and swallow a prophet, I'm not going to all of a sudden lean towards, what works scientifically. I don't care what plant it was. What we know is that this plant sprung up in a day, grew up in a day, gave shade in that day, and Jonah delighted in this plant. That might have been beautiful. That might have had flowers on it. We don't know why Jonah delighted in it, but he did. He delights in this plant. And that's kind of the spectrum of Jonah. We see Jonah way on one end, where he's burning hot, extremely hot with what God has done in saving Nineveh. And now he's exceedingly happy with what God has done. And really, the scale of what separates that, this side is a side of things that God does that Jonah doesn't care for. And this side is when God is a good God to Jonah and God is doing things that Jonah likes. Sometimes we can be that way. We love God when everything is going great. He's blessing us and everything is being answered for. But the lesson isn't done, Jonah. The next thing that God does in verse 7, it says, God appointed a worm. When John came to the early morning, the next day, and it attacked that flesh and the fat liver. Now, I don't know if this is a chronic tadpole. I don't know what kind of worm this is, what it is. It shook it. It smoked it. This is our King James often, right? It smoked the plant. It did violence upon the plant. And it's like right before Jonah's eyes. So we don't know. You know, we might have people say, well, I was, you know, some kind of alleviating, you know, concern. But it's like if you're Jonah and you see this, you see this worm inching its way out of the vine and trying to even leave, you're like, you're gone, worm. I'm keeping my shade, but this little lion did something, and he smoked this plant, scrubbed this plant, hard chopped the plant, whatever he did, and the plant began to wither, heads gone. And when the plant goes, so does Jonah's comfort. So does Jonah's love for this plant. It breaks Jonah's heart. But not only does it break Jonah's heart, in removing the shade, God is not done with Jonah. It says in verse 8, when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and dead with all his soul. And death is better to me than life. And there's a problem here because the Lord appoints all three. The worm, the wind. And this is how God set up this lesson for Jonah. This is the illustration. He allowed and he directed Jonah's heart towards the plant that Jonah's heart would take some kind of pleasure in the plant. And because he loved the plant and cared for the plant, God intentionally wanted Jonah experience that. And sometimes God does it in our life and brings us into a situation where we will experience something, whether it's physically or emotionally, because He is going to build on that. He's going to work with our heart through that. He has a plan. He's not aimless. He's not a God of coincidence. He does things purposeful, unintended. And he intended to bring that plant, knowing that he was going to take it back away or make it from Jonah. Not only does he appoint the worm to attack the plant, but he also calls for this scorching east wind in a place where the location of where Jonah is. Triple digits are normal. But there are these east winds that can come that increase the temperature anywhere from 16 to 22 degrees. And there are things great that when these winds come that everybody goes and hides. And it drains all the moisture out of plants and probably foliage drain all the moisture out of the people as well. Deadly eastern winds. And so God brings the sun up so it would beat down on Jonah's head. He's being pounded by the sun. And then the wind is moving through that area and it's putting Jonah through it. And it turns out it brings him to a point where he is faint. And that's the same thing that was happening to Jonah. He was at the bottom of the sea. He became faint. But when that great fish swallowed Jonah, when he became faint, he cried out to the Lord.
cry to God. The difference between crying out for God to deliver him and crying out for God to kill him, the difference is that right in the middle of these two men, Nineveh escaped. And not only did Nineveh escape, Jonah was run by. Jonah wanted their death and their judgment so much that now that they're escaped, life isn't worth living. And we might look at Jonah with evil eyes and think, how can you be like that, Jonah? Well, we're not to investigate our own heart and take inventory and ask God to help us to see if there's anything in your life where God were to take it, that God were to prevent you from having it, that you would rather die than live. And sometimes we think that things feel tight like that when God takes us to fight. It's like we've died. And God has Jonah right where he wants him at the end of this lesson, at the end of himself. And that God is the giver of life, he is the sustainer of life. And Jonah wants God to take his life. In Isaiah 40, verse 7. Isaiah says this of the Lord, the grass withers and the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass, and surely Jonah feels like that right now. For God loves Jonah. He loves him. And because God loves Jonah, he's not done with Jonah. He's brought him all these object lessons, and this is something for us to consider, that God has an endless list of resources that he can use to help us to learn. He uses a great fish and a tiny worm. There is nothing that God will use to help us to see who he is, and that's what he's going to do in this next portion, verse 9 through 11, where the Lord gives his explanation. The Lord's explanation in verse 9, he says, then God said to Jonah, do you have the reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. Then the Lord said, you have compassion on the plant for which you did not work, and which you do not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? There are so many times in scriptures where God leads his children into a particular time to ask them a very pointed question. The question that gets to the heart of what they're dealing with. Consider God's question for Adam. Right after Adam sinned in the garden, God asked, where are you? Not because God doesn't know that man's in the garden. But Adam, you changed your spiritual location. What about the question that God asked Abraham? Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? What about the question that the Lord Jesus asked Saul? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? We have Peter, when the Lord restored him, the Lord Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these, Peter? God asks us these questions, and it gets to the very heart of what we're dealing with. It's meant to bring this dross that's in our heart to the surface so that we can investigate, so that we can be purified.
restoration that He allows into our life. Salvation allows. We're like that ship in the beginning of John, where He can call in the storm and still keep the ship perfectly intact. We feel like we're going to bust at the seams. We can't make it. We can't endure. But God says, I have you in my hands. And He's the one that fashioned us. Does He not know how to keep us? If He orchestrate all the elements that go into the trials, cannot keep them from smothering us, overwhelming us, taking us over? Of course. So he asks Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plagues? Now I think that Jonah only heard, do you have good reason to be angry? And of course Jonah believes that he has good reason to be angry. Because when we're angry, we always believe that we have good reason to be angry. We always find a way to justify our anger. And yet, God's kind to Jonah. He's patient. He's patient. He's so patient with Jonah. God says to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plan? And he said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. And remember, he's not asking Jonah, do you have good reason? Like, is there a reason why? He's asking Jonah if he's reasoning rightly. Are you thinking rightly about the situation, Jonah, that you would be caused to be angry? And that is such a powerful question, beloved. We need to remember this lesson for our life. When we are feeling that pressure in our heart, in our mind, begin to raise, and next thing you know, we are angry. We should ask ourselves, are we thinking rightly about this to be angry? That is exactly what the Lord asked Jonah. And what does Jonah say? He says yes. And even to death. And remember, he believes that dying is better than life. But then God makes this statement. It's a question in verse 9, a statement in verse 10, and another question in verse 11. Listen to what the Lord says in verse 10. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on us, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. That's the statement. That's the object lesson, Jonah. I allow you to have this plan, to draw your love towards the plan, so that when you have that plan taken from you, you can see what it's like to have that love taken from you. Beloved, if we knew the heart of God, if we knew the grace that was in our Savior's heart when Adam and Eve sinned, to know our history of death was before them, to know all the suffering that was going to happen from the first family to families today, think about it. We might know some family that endured some trials. But God knows every family. And God knows all the sin. God knows all the pain and the suffering that came from that moment in the garden. And we don't know what it's like. That something that we have created, something that we have grown, something that we have given everything into, to have it taken. And we equally don't know the desire and the willingness that God has to restore what was taken. And that's what Jonah misses. And that, beloved, is something that we miss as well. desires and is willing to save sinners that are so unworthy of his salvation, that are so unworthy of his fatherhood, that are so unworthy of him sending his holy, perfect, holy, without sin, Spirit to dwell in them and to watch what their eyes watch and to hear what their mouths say and to know what their hearts desire and all of the sin that is there. And if God wants to do it, God wants to send his Spirit to dwell inside of me. To lead them, to guide them, to strengthen them, to give them hope, to make them return to the image of Christ. He tells Jonah, you have compassion on the plant which you did not work in, which you did not cause to grow. I put those people in Nineveh. I grew those people in Nineveh. Those people in Nineveh are image bearers. They're mine. They're mine, even though that I'm not in covenant with them like I am with you and Israel. I love them. I have compassion. God is not pleased that any would perish. He does not desire any to perish, but he is a God that desires that all men repent and be saved. And that is the object lesson. And that's why in verse 11 God says, should I not have compassion on Nineveh? The great city of Sarah, over 120,000 souls. You care and have compassion for a worm and for a plant. What about image bearers? When we first got into this book of Jonah, I mentioned that there is a celebration that Jews take part in where they say, we're all Jonah. We are not all Jonah, but we can have Jonah-like tendencies. We have hearts that run parallel with Jonah at times. And the question for us is, as we close up this book, you know, how can we take Jonah and make Jonah work for us in our life? How do I learn from Jonah? Do you know anybody that needs God's compassion? Is there anybody around you, anybody that God has placed, particularly in your sphere of influence? You see them daily, weekly, monthly. There is within that field of people that are in your life, and that they need God's compassion. Would you be compassionate to them? Would you introduce Christ to them? Because God demonstrated his mercy and his compassion by sending his son that really exemplified the person and heart of God. And that son went to a cross and died for the sins of the world. Not for your sins and my sins. That we would become children of God. That we would have that ultimate experience of all things made new and restored, and that our hearts long to have even now. If you desire, with any amount of desire to have that, if you desire heaven to any degree, if you desire the kingdom of God to any degree, should it also accompany a heart of compassion for those that were just like you? Needing God's blessing of mercy, needing God's grace, it would be such an honor to be saved in heaven by somebody God brought into your life and allowed you to share the mercy of God. How do we make Jonah work for us? Well, scriptures tell us to be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. We've got work to do, but praise God that he's willing to work with us on that. Father, I thank you for giving us this little book of Jonah. I ask you, Lord, that you would plant it in our heart,
You help us to consider those around us that need to know your compassion and really that you are a compassionate God. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the schoolhouses that you invite us into. Help us to learn our lessons. Help us to love the path that you teach us with patience, with kindness, and with love. And help us to not take those lessons that we learn at a high cost for granted. And bless us, Lord, and help us to be thankful for all that you have given us in this year. And give us hopeful hearts that are anxious to see what you will do.